ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि। सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत्। अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। सो वी हेव् सीन् दिस् केन उपनिषत्। रिमेम्बर् विच् वेदा इट् इस् फ्रम्? This Kena Upanishad is from Samaveda. And in Samaveda, there is a portion called Talavakara Brahmanam, and who is attributed to the Talavakara Rishihi. And this Talavakara Brahmanam consists of 9 chapters. And all the 8 chapters actually deal with only karma and upasana. And the 9th chapter alone deals with Brahma Vidya, and wherein this Kena Upanishad forms the 9th chapter of the Talavakara Brahmanam. And before entering into the text, the Bhashyam on the text, I told you long ago, I mean maybe 4-5 months ago when we were doing the classes, we did the introductory Bhashyam. And that introductory Bhashyam, we've seen Shankara establishes the Shastra Dvaya Vada. What does it mean here? Shastra Dvaya Vadaha means, according to Shankara, according to Advaita view thing, Veda Shastram has two different, the whole Shastram has two different Shastras. Veda as a whole consists of two parts, and which are two different Shastrams. The first Shastram is the Karma Shastram, consisting of Karma Upasana Kandas. The second Shastram is called, the Jnana Kanda is called Moksha Shastram. Why do we say two Shastras are there? Because even though it's one whole book, still there are two different texts. Because the sadhana, this here, Anubandha Chatushtayam, differs from the Anubandha Chatushtayam of Jnana Kanda is different from the Anubandha Chatushtayam of this Karma Shastram. What is Anubandha Chatushtayam? Do you remember that? Anubandha means Chatvaraha Chaturnam Vishyanam Samuhaha. Anubandha Chatushtayam. There are 4 factors. What are the 4 factors? Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandaha, phalam. Remember, if these four factors are the same, or even the texts are many, books are many, then all of them come under one shastram. They should be considered as books of one discipline. If the Anubandha Chatushtayam is different, the four factors involved in writing or reading in book, if the Anubandha Chatushtayam is different, then even if it is one book, we should be separate them into two different disciplines, two different scriptures, the shastras. So here, Karma Shastram, the Adhikari of Karma Shastram is different, and Adhikari of Moksha Shastram is different. Because for Adhikari of Karma Shastram, the one for whom Artha Kama Dharmas are the ends, and he is Adhikari for Karma Kanda, to know, study and perform rituals, etc. Whereas the one who is for whom moksha is the ultimate end, jnanam is the ultimate end, and for him, the moksha shastram is the, he is the adhikari for moksha shastram. And subject matter also is different. Of course, the moksha shastram, the jnana kandha, Upanishads discuss only Brahma Vidya. In the sense, it talks only about Swarupam of Brahman, etc. Whereas here, the karma shastram deals with all varieties of rituals and know-how of rituals, performance of rituals, all about rituals and the phalam. Karma and karma phalam, upasana and upasana phalam, all the subject matter, subject matter which form the karma kanda. Therefore, subject matter also is different. Adhikari is different. And so what is sambandha here? Sambandha also, isn't it? In the sambandha may be same, but sambandha is with whom? Only with subject matter being different, sambandha also is, we say, different. Different means what? Sambandha is with the karma, is with the karma, sambandha there is with jnanam. And also phalam also is different. Arthakama dharmas are the fruits for karma kanda, and moksha is the, jnanam is the phalam of the jnana kanda. Therefore, phalam is different. The fruits, the benefits one can reap out of this two shastras, study of the two shastras, being different. And adhikaris being different, subject matter being different. This, even though Veda is one whole shastram, it does consist of two different shastrams, we say. That means shastra dvaya, so Shankara establishes that. Why? Because there are people who are eka shastra vadinaha, according to whom Veda is one shastram only. Why do they say one shastram, eka shastra vadinaha? Means the people who say Veda is one shastram, Veda consists only one shastram, doesn't consist two shastrams. That means for them, the whole Veda as a whole shastram is a means of knowledge, a means of moksha. And for them, even performance of karma itself is enough for attaining moksha. According to them, people who say Veda is one shastram, Veda consists of only one shastram, who are known as Eka Shastra Vadinaha, according to them, karma, performance of karma itself will directly result in jnanam, which is mokshaha, in due course of time. They do not separate it. Directly karma will give you moksha. That is their argument. Mainly Visishta Advaitins also. They are the people. Whereas Shankara says, no, of course, karma is important. Karma has to be performed. Karma does contribute for the attainment of knowledge and moksha, but karma has to be followed, karma has to be understood, karma has to be performed. But jnanam alone will result in moksha. For moksha, karma is not the means. Jnanam is the only means. He establishes that. He says, karma and jnanam need not be combined as a means for the attainment of moksha. It's called jnana karma samuchayaha. Jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha means people are given to that understanding that karma and jnanam should be combined for the attainment of moksha as a means. Together serve as a means for moksha. They're called jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. And such people are also known as eka shastra vadinaha. Why eka shastra vadinaha? They, according to them, karma and jnanam should be combined. Together alone it produces moksha. They don't believe that jnanam itself will give you moksha. And here Shankara also says, yes, karma and jnanam can be combined. Now, both have to be combined as means for the attainment of moksha in the form of knowledge. Karma and jnanam should be combined, can be combined, but not simultaneously. It's a very important lesson. Shankara does not deny the need for the performance of karma. But he says they cannot be combined simultaneously, but sequential combination of karma and jnanam does serve as a means of moksha. But simultaneously combining karma and jnanam as a means of moksha is not possible, is not necessary. Whereas this jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha, also visishtadvaitinaha, they say no, karma and jnana, the combination of karma and jnanam together, it serves as means of moksha. And why you need not, what does it mean, what does he mean by saying sequential combination is possible, is required also, but simultaneously combining karma and jnanam and possible, because karma is the means of preparation. Karma is required in order to prepare the mind for jnanam. But without this antakarna shuddhi and aishalyam, jnanam is not possible. Therefore, but to have antakarna shuddhi and jnanam, antakarna shuddhi and aishalyam, karma is the means. Karma performed as yoga becomes the means. But for moksha, jnanam is the only means. Jnanam alone is enough for moksha. Karma is not required for moksha. Therefore, he says, this sequentially, one has to perform karma with proper attitude to have antakarna shuddhi and nyaischalyam. That way one can become mentally prepared, and thereafter one can pursue knowledge as a prepared-minded person, and he can attain moksha by attaining jnanam. Thereby, this karma becomes what now? Karma becomes an indirect means for jnanam, not for moksha. Okay? For moksha, what is the means? Even though jnanam and moksha are identical, one and the same, still karma does not directly means does not become directly means for moksha. Nor does the karma become indirectly also means for moksha. Karma is an indirect means for gaining jnanam, which is moksha. Is it clear now? Whereas jnanam itself is what? Itself is moksha. Jnanam is the only means of moksha. This is Shankara's argument. And that he establishes in this introductory bhashya. And thereafter we saw one more thing. Why he says karma cannot be the means of moksha. Means of attaining the moksha. Because see, moksha is anutpadyaha. Moksha is anapyaha. Moksha is asamskaryaha. See, karma phalam always is what? Utpadyam. Karma phalam is something utpadyam. See, that which can be produced newly, which was not there before. And as a result, you can produce something. Something can be brought into existence. Like pancakes. Isn't it? Utpadyam is what? Which can be, that which is produced is what? Producible is utpadyam. A karma phalam is what? Something utpadyam. And karma phalam is also apyam. Apyam means that which is, that which can be attained, that which can be produced, reachable, attainable is what? Apyam. Apyam means reachable, attainable. Suppose if you are here and you have to reach Finchley Road, reaching Finchley Road is action, isn't it? So reachable, attainable is called apyam. Utpadya means producible, that which can be produced. And then samskaryam, vikaryam also, vikaryam, something which is modifiable. The karma phalam is modifiable, vikaryam, subject to change, modification. And samskaryam means it can be refined. So karma phalam is utpadyam, karma phalam is apyam, karma phalam is vikaryam, karapalam is also samskaryam. See, you when you something was not there before, which is produced newly, means it is utpadyam. Then action becomes the means for that. And something which is not there, which you do not have, we are going to get it attainable. Or reachable, in terms of attaining, in terms of reaching, you know, is also karma becomes the means. And then, what is not there with you, what is not there for with you already, can be reached. If you are away from some place, you can be reached. You do not have it, you can attain it. So, karma phalam produces what? A phalam is apyam, attainable. Reachable is the phalam. Producible is the phalam. Then vikaryam, definitely it is subject to change. That which can be changed is the phalam. One thing can be changed into other thing, isn't it? Change, vikaryam also. Phalam is modifiable. Fruit is modifiable. And then we say this samskaryam. Samskaryam means what? Actually refinable. That which can, more karma phalam is, no, it can result in what? A karma can give you as a result, which is the samskaryam. Samskaroti, the samskaryam. So here again we have two types of samskaras. Now one samskara is what now? It's kind of guna adana karma. guna apanayana, dosha apanayana karma. Guna adana karma also is refining, refinement. And then dosha apanayana also is there, karma. Suppose when you come here, these walls look very dirty. And what do? You paint it to make it look nice. Painting is what? Guna adana karma, action. Instead of samskara. Because it is not clean, you make it look clean by painting it. But before painting, you remove the scrub all the dirt there. It's called dosha apanayanam. So dosha apanayanam is one is also what now? How do you refine it? How do you make it look fresh? By removing the dirt and by painting it on the top. So painting also is what? An action, isn't it? So refinement involves what? Dosha apanayanam, removal of the defect, dosha, and you add beauty to it by painting. So guna adhanam and dosha apanayanam, these two, removal of the dosha and addition of beauty, two things are involved in samskara, the act of samskara, isn't it? So any karma phalam is what? No, samskaryam. When you say refinable, isn't it? So samskaram is all nature of the karma phalam. What is the karma phalam? Any karma phalam is what? This is what karma can produce. But now you have to understand, if moksha is moksha utpadyaha, is moksha apyaha, is moksha samskaryaha, is mokshaha or vikaryaha, then you can say moksha can be, moksha is the fruit of action. You can say that. If moksha is of this nature, then you can say karma is the means for attaining moksha. Because any karma phalam is of this attributes, nature. Mokshaha is not utpadyaha, not producible. Why? Because mokshaha is the very swarupam. That which is already, it is the very swarupam of the atma. Therefore, moksha cannot be attained. Moksha cannot be produced newly. What was not there before can be produced newly, isn't it? So moksha being already there as the very swarupam, it cannot be produced. Why moksha is the very swarupam of what? The atma. What is atma? The very swarupam of I, which is already there. Isn't atma swarupam being eternal, moksha being swarupam of the atma, where moksha is already there, therefore it cannot be produced. And similarly, this moksha being, moksha means what? Atma actually, isn't it? Not two different things at all. And atma is already very you. Therefore it cannot be, it's not away from you, therefore it's not apyaha. You cannot reach moksha. And nor can you attain moksha. What you do not have, you can attain. What is away from you, you can reach. Isn't it? So here moksha is not apyaha also. So moksha is not utpadyaha. Moksha is not apyaha, and moksha is also what? Not vikaryaha, not subject to change. And moksha is also not samskaryaha. Moksha is very atmaswarupam, and it is something shuddha swarupaha. Moksha itself is atmaswarupam, means what? It's pure already, isn't it? You cannot remove anything unwanted dirt from moksha, nor can you make moksha look better than what it is. Moksha is nothing but anandaha. Moksha is freedom, which is already the swarupam of the atma. So it is not something to be samskaryam also. Therefore, mokshaha being anutpadyaha, anapyaha, na asamskaryaha, moksha cannot be attained. Anirvikaryaha. It cannot be, moksha is not, cannot be attained as a attained through the means of karma. Is it clear now? This analysis Shankara presents. Therefore, what now? Karma can be the means to accomplish something which is of this nature. Only if it is apyaha, utpadyaha, samskarya or vikarya, then karma can be the means. And moksha doesn't fit in here, therefore karma cannot be the means of moksha. Then what is karma for? Because why does Veda talk about karma? And why do we say Veda is the means of knowledge? And still why do you talk about, then why do you say? That means you are ignoring Vedic words. No, karma is a must. Karma does serve as a means of knowledge, but not as a direct means of knowledge. Karma serves as an indirect means of knowledge in terms of preparing the mind for knowledge. Ever karma is to be followed. But jnanam is the direct only means for moksha. So karma neither directly nor indirectly becomes a means for moksha. But jnanam karma becomes the indirect means of jnanam. Is it clear? Therefore, he says, jnana karma samuchayaha is not possible. Synthesis of karma and knowledge as a means for moksha is not possible, is not necessary. Whereas, synthesis of karma and jnanam as means for moksha is possible, but not simultaneous. Simultaneous combination is not possible, but sequential combination is possible. Sequentially, they serve as means of moksha. Is it clear now? This is what he talks about in this introductory bhashya, which we have seen long ago. I'm slowly coming back to the class. And which this particular thing, Shankara, to establish this fact, Veda Shastram is not Ekash, no? He established this Shastra Dvaya Vada and refute this Ekashastra Vada. He also quotes from Brihadaranyaka, Chandogya and other Upanishads we've seen in the other class. So now we'll go straight to the first verse, first mantra. Look, I don't want to be slow. Highly technical teaching here, really. Actually speaking, the Shankara's Bhashyam on the Upanishads becomes tougher only from Kena Upanishad. In the sense, Katha Bhashyam is simple, Mundaka Bhashyam is much simpler, you know, but from here, from Kena, slowly the Bhashyam begins little complicated. This is called complicated, serious, I mean more technical. And the toughest Bhashyam is on the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's not, nothing is tough or difficult. Only thing is, it's very technical. It mean what I'm saying, it is not difficult really, because when you don't know Sanskritam and try to understand what is said here, and sometimes you'll wonder, my God, what I want is moksha. What I want is jnanam. Am I really interested in these discussions? I don't care whether the word ishitam and preshitam mean the same or not. What a slight difference that is there. You may think that way. But really, this bhashya study is always to make the intellect sharp. Really. And really speaking, one should not go for the bhashyam study without having done the moolam study. One must have, moolam means the original text. One should study the original text properly with the help of the teacher. One should have already understood what are all subject matter discussed here. then you go back, again start from the beginning, you study the same mantras with the Bhashyam. And then Bhashyam study is not a must for one for Jnana. It's not compulsory. But nothing wrong in doing the Bhashyam study. Bhashyam study is done mainly for sharpening the Buddhi and to think differently, and you will know, oh, is it possible to think this way also? You can see how intelligently the arguments are presented here. That is why you have to study Bhashyam. But immediately don't worry, you have not studied the text already, but we will try to do both simultaneously. For people who have not attended the Moolam text class. So, and you know, as I said, this word Upanishad begins with the word Kena. The question, therefore it's called Kena Upanishad. Read once. Om. Keneshitam patati.
Keneshitam patati.
Preshitam.
Preshitam.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Kena.
Kena.
Pranaha.
Pranaha.
Prathamaha.
Prathamaha.
Praityuktaha.
Praityuktaha.
Kena ishitam.
Kena ishitam.
Vacham imam.
Vacham imam.
Vadanti.
Vadanti.
Chakshu.
Chakshu.
Shrotram.
Shrotram.
Kavu devo yunakti.
Kavu devo yunakti.
So what's the literal meaning? So, kena ishitam, preshitam, manaha patati. Impelled by what or which conscious principle, conscious being, or instigated by which conscious being, inspired or directed by which conscious being, this mind functions. Mind comes in contact with sense objects. Mind is involved in, you know, mind is directed towards its own objects. Like mind perceives, knows, thinks, etc. Then, kena pranaha prathamaha praiti yuktaha. And what is that by which this prana, the prathamaha, the foremost of this, the prana is said to be prathamaha, because prana is without prana, one cannot think, one cannot perceive, nothing, no other sukshma aspect can function without the prana, function of prana. Therefore, prana is said to be the prathamaha, foremost. See, without the mind, when the mind is off, prana functions, isn't it? And the prana is not there. There's no energy, means the mind even cannot think. You will all faint. Without energy, you cannot think, you cannot see anything. I mean, perception is not possible. You're very hungry, you're very, very weak and tired. Even your eyes, you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot think. Do you understand? You will ask. Because if your tummy is hungry, there is no prana, nothing is possible. Therefore, pranaha is said to be what? Prathamaha. Pranaha, prathamaha. So, what is that by which, impelled by which, or activated by which, directed by which principle this prana functions? And then, kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. Imam vacham vadanti. Now, that means even the speech, the organ of speech functions. You know, what is that principle by impelled by which, directed by which, you know, blessed by which this even organ of speech functions? And not only that, all other sense organs also function because of what? Chakshuhu shrotram. He mentions two sense organs. We have to understand all other senses. So kaha u devaha yunakti. Who is that Lord? Who is that who is that conscious being? What is that conscious being? What is that principle? No? Which is distinct from this body-mind-sense complex. Which is different from this body-mind-sense complex. And which, because of the presence of which, because of the grace of blessings of which, all of them function, all of them become activated. That's the question actually. And here, the very question shows the student is not simply a dull-witted student. The student is a thinker and he already has this much understanding. Everything else in this universe is material in nature. So also this body, physical body, not only this physical body, even the imperceptible mind, imperceptible, invisible sense powers, imperceptible, invisible, even the powers of organs of action, sense organs, all of them, this sthula sukshma, this shariram, or you can say karya karana sanghataha means this assemblage of this entire physical body mind sense complex. No, karya karana sanghata, together we say this body mind sense complex, all of them are material products, material in nature, therefore they are inert by themselves. And how do these inert aspects now become conscious and sentient? Together as a whole they become conscious and sentient. That means, and sentient means they are all made to function. Because they are conscious and sentient, they are also functioning. The mind functions, senses, sense organs function, organs of actions function, prana functions, and body is alive and body is active. That means they themselves cannot be active, because all of them together, this assemblage of this body mind complex, really all of them together by themselves are inert in nature. So the inert material product body mind complex cannot be active by itself, cannot be live and sentient by itself, conscious by itself. So all these functions are not possible. That means there is something else which is different from this body mind sense complex, distinct from this body mind sense complex, and it cannot be distant from this body mind sense complex also. It cannot be distant, sitting somewhere and activating it like a puppet. No. It is very much present in the body, but still it is not known. What is that? So, kena, by which? Kena means what now? What is that by which? What is that conscious principle, conscious being, impelled by which, or instigated by which, directed by which principle, all this entire inert body mind sense complex becomes conscious and sentient and active? This is the question. This simple question is answered. So it's also the very question shows the student's knowledge. At least he knows already this much. He is able to distinguish, isn't it? Something else is there. What is that he is able to ask? We do not even know that something else is there. Isn't it? Therefore, that very question shows this much. And now we have to start to read the Bhashyam. How do you say an effulgent being? Kahavu devaha yunakti. There's a word, no, last word. Kahavu devaha means kaha devaha yunakti. What is that effulgent being? A conscious principle. What is a conscious principle? What is that effulgent being which really, you know, fixes all of them together and makes them function? That's the thing. Now we'll enter into the text, the Bhashya. Kena ishitam ityadi. Okay, that begins. Kena ishitam.
Kena ishitam.
No, kena, he just takes only first word, kena ishitam. And what is the meaning given for kena ishitam? Kena ishitam, two different words. Kena means by whom, by which, by what. You know, kena is the singular instrumental form of the interrogative pronoun kaha or kim. Okay, kaha or kim, what, which, who. For all these questions you have interrogative pronouns. What is that, kaha or kim? And what is the instrumental singular form of that kaha declension? Kena, by what, by whom, by which. That's the meaning. Kena ishitam. Ishitam, you should know, ishitam is a past passive participle. Actually speaking, I have to tell you so many things here. Ish is the dhatuhu. Ish is the dhatuhu. And this ish dhatuhu belongs to three different conjugations. So started now. Like this. Ish is the dhatuhu from which this word ishitam is derived. That means ish dhatuhu belongs to ninth conjugation. Ish dhatuhu belongs to sixth conjugation. Ish dhatuhu also belongs to fourth conjugation. Okay, fourth conjugation. And as the ninth conjugation root, what is the verb you get? Ishnati. Ishnati, ishnitaha, ishnanti is the verb. Ishnati, like gachati, patati, likati, ishnati. Ishnati means repeatedly does or repeats. That's the meaning. No, abhikshnyam means what? Repetition. So ishdhatu means what? Repeats. Ishita means repeated. And ishdhatu as a sixth conjugation root, it means ishyati is the verb. Ishyati means what? Gatyartakaha dhatu. Moves, wanders. That is the meaning. So movement. So ishita means mood, walked. Another meaning is there. Ish dhatuhu, the sixth conjugation root, it means ichchati, desires, wills, willing.
That's the
desire.
Which?
Sixth.
Sixth.
Ishnati, ninth. Ishyati, fourth. Ichchati, sixth. You don't need to break your heads, okay? Just I'm telling you, listen. It's not necessary for you because we have started doing Bhashyam and this is how the Bhashyam will be. It'll be good for you to listen. See, one dhatu has three different meanings. Same dhatu has three different meanings. As dhatus are three different conjugations. So, which meaning should we take it here? First, this is a Bhashyam, okay? When you read literal translation, okay, inspired by what? You finished. But here, when Shankara's Bhashyam, when you enter into, Ishdhatu has three different meanings, as it belongs to three different conjugations. But which meaning should we take? Walked, moved, desired, willed, understand? And then first meaning, first it Ishnati repeats. So if you take this Ishita as the participle, then it does not mean repeated, does not mean moved or walked. It means what now? We should take the sixth conjugation meaning. That means ishita means you are actually desired, willed. Is it clear now? So, willed by whom? By whose will? By whose desire? Mind functions. This body mind sense complex becomes conscious and sentient. That's the meaning you should take. And here again, next step is ishita also, if you take the root ish in the sense of desiring or willing, then the participle of that ish dhatu must be ishta, desired, willed. It cannot be ishita. So here again Shankara says, ishita, this is set prayogaha, means the dhatu takes e, ikara, it becomes ishita. Really speaking, ishta is the correct conventional form. What is the correct conventional participle of the root is ishta. But ishita is what? Is it right or wrong? We should not say wrong. It is Vedic usage. Ishita is equal to ishta. So desired by whom? Is it clear now? Willed by whom? This whole material body mind complex become active, conscious and sentient. Is it clear? So this is the just kena preshitam, kena ishitam. Okay, only from the first line. We won't go for second line, okay, today. We'll start, you know, we'll start tomorrow. Next time I'll be more ready also for the class. Today I'm not really ready also. Ready means I was ready because I just... I'm ready for the class, I was not... Okay. So, kena ishitam. So, again, next comes. So, kena ishitam, ishtam. See now, that's why he says, kena kartra, see now, kena kartra, ishitam,
ishtam,
abhipretam. So, ishtam means what? Abhipretam. Sun. Manaha patati. Patati means what? Patati literally means what? Falls. No? You know, pustakam, see, pustakam patati. This is patati. But mind does fall or what? Literally, you should not take it. Manaha patati means, what does he say? Gacchati. Gacchati, manaha gacchati, mind goes. Mind goes where? Where does the mind go? Svavishayam prati. Svavishayam, how do you read it? Okay. Okay, manaha, you know?
Manaha.
Patati. What is the meaning of that patati? Svavishayam prati gacchati. Or you can say gacchati. You know, gacchati svavishayam prati iti sambadhyate. It is said here, what is said here? See, what is that? Kena kartra, okay, by which agent, impelled by which agent, directed by which agent, okay, this, which agent means this mind functions or goes towards its own objects. Directed towards its objects. That's the meaning. And here we have to have another word. There are two words. You see that preshitam and ishitam in the very first sentence. Kena ishitam and kena preshitam. We have two different words. And here Shankara is going to say later on, ishitam and preshitam actually mean the same, but with the prefix, it gives you, preshitam gives you more refined meaning of See, the refined meaning of the word prajitam is what? Ishitam. Really speaking, you're going to see that. Pra, the same ish dhatuhu, if you add prefix pra, it becomes what? Preshita. Preshita. So, preshita means what? Directed. So, the student uses two words. Kena ishitam, kena preshitam. So, kena preshitam means what? Directed by whom? Instigated by whom? Impelled by whom? Activated by whom? By which principle? By which conscious principle? This mind functions. This mind is, activated towards its objects. That's the question. Then you should ask the question first. We're not going to second one. Okay, only first line. Here the question is: why does the student use two words? Ishitam and Preshitam. Why does he use two questions? Why does he ask two questions? One is enough, no? Kena Ishitam Manaha Patati would have been enough. Kena Preshitam Manaha Patati would have been enough. Kena Ishitam Preshitam Manaha. Why two? Kena Ishitam, Kena Preshitam. Why does he use two different words? Why does he ask two questions? Because he says, the word preshitam means directed, isn't it? Directed. That means there, the one who directs the mind becomes what? Director. Isn't it? And ishita means willed by whom, means desired by whom, means everything functions. When you say, by the bless by whose mere presence, that's the meaning. The two different things, preshitam, ishitam, isn't it? Two words are there. One word gives it the meaning of what now? Meaning of, it makes the preshitam indicates the karta. Now karta, because when you say ishitam, preshitam means activated. Or directed by whom? When you say the word direction, take the noun form of it. Direction or activation implies lot of work being done, isn't it? Lot of activities. He is directing me means what? The word direction implies many actions being done, lot of work being done. Is it clear? Does Atma do? That means it's a karta. It makes Atma the karta. Whereas Ishita means Ishta, isn't it? When you take that word Ishta, it's a more refined meaning. It gives a more refined meaning. That means desired by, just by its will. By the mere will of it, isn't it? The mere wish of it. That means by mere presence. No? By whose mere presence everything functions. Difference. Is it clear now? So, if you say direction means, if you take the meaning of the word direction, then it makes the Atma karta. Is Atma the doer? Is Atma the karta? Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, Atma cannot be the karta. That means, what meaning is correct here? So, the preshitam should convey the same meaning conveyed by the ishitam. To make it very clear, the student uses two words. Even though he used the word preshitam, but he uses the extra additional word ishitam, the first, because the word does not, the one by whose mere presence, because of the blessings, whose blessings, everything becomes activated, everything functions. So to differentiate this, the student, it seems, wanted to make it very clear. He knows that Atma is not the Karta, but if I ask this question, activated by whom, then it might make the Atma a Karta. Therefore, let me use another word also there, which will imply, what now, a more refined meaning, that by whose mere presence, by whose blessings, this sannidhi matrena, you know, just by its presence, by whose mere presence, everything is activated, everything functions. So he wanted to make it very clear, it seems. Okay. So kena means kartra, kena kartra. By which doer? Who is the person behind the show? Isn't it? So then you can make the person behind the show as simply, just by his mere presence, everything is done. Or he himself has to do so many things to make it happen. Isn't it? The question comes. Therefore, the student used two words, Ishitam and Prashitam, to make it very clear, no, even though a question is asked, by who is that conscious being? What is a conscious principle? What is that principle, conscious principle, because of which everything becomes activated? He wants to say, what is a conscious principle by whose mere presence everything functions? Is it clear now? So here, actually we are entering into the big discussion on these two words, Ishita and Preshita. Okay, Ishita and Preshita. Ishitam and Preshitam will be taken here for argument, okay? Now Purupakshis will be coming and they will be knocking off, so highly grammatical here. We are going to see that. It will take some time late, don't worry. Iti sambadhyate. Okay. Have we understood now? We have finished only first word. Kena Ishitam.
So, Swamiji, Kartra. Kartra is the same as Karta.
No. Listen. Kaha Karta. Kaha Karta means what? Who is the doer? Who is the activator? Isn't it? Who is the agent? But Kartra, see, Karta is what? Actually, it's a nominative of Rikaranta Shabda. Kartra Shabdaha. When every time you say karta, 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 maker, performer, doer, you have to say all these things. Karta means what? Maker, performer, doer, activator, it's all karta. But karta is what? Rikarantaha, pullingaha, kartru shabdaha. It is a rikaranta shabda. The karta is a word ending in the vowel R. The R in no other language can be understood as a vowel. Because R, very sound comes with a consonant only for us, isn't it? Whereas here in Sanskritam, Kartra means what? Rikarantaha, Pullingaha, Kartra Shabdaha. Karta is a Rikaranta Shabda. And what is the instrumental form of Karta in nominative? Karta. In objective, accusative, Kartaram. Instrumental Kartra, dative Kartre, ablative Kartuhu, possessive Kartuhu, locative Kartari. Okay, Karta, Kartaro, Kartaraha. I'm going to make you all learn Sanskritam hereafter. I had no other go because you all seeing, looking at me like this, I had no choice now. Kartaram, Kartaro, Kartaraha, Kartrun. Kartra kartrubhyam kartrubhihi, kartre kartrubhyam kartrubhyaha, kartuhu kartrubhyam kartrubhyaha, kartuhu kartroho kartrunam, kartari kartroho kartrushu. Is it clear? So not what to say, therefore. Okay. So kena kartra means what? By which activator? By which doer? By which performer? You know, that's the actual meaning. So by whom? By whose activation? By whose direction? By whose direction? Isn't it? Because of whose direction? By whose direction? Everything functions. Everything becomes conscious and sentient. Then the next answer is what? By whose mere presence? What is that conscious principle? By the mere presence of which, no, everything functions. So here the student wants to say, he doesn't want to say, no, by whose direction, then it becomes, then the makes the karta, atma karta act, doer. He wants to say by whose mere presence, by whose blessings everything functions. Therefore he says, that's why he used the word, two different words it seems. Is it clear? This one meaning, ishitam,
iti.
Now I have already finished, I told you already, I'm going to go to the next one. He's still explaining, look at this, he's still explaining the meaning of the root ishita in Shankara. I already told you, ishitam. So ishitam, how do you get the word ishitam? From the root ish. Ish is the root, and what is ishitam? Participle. How did you get the word ishitam from the root ish? By making it set dhatu. You got to add ikara, isn't it? Ishita. So he says, eat prayogaha. Say no? Eat prayogaha. Eat prayogaha. This ishitam, when you have made it, actually, what is the conventional form of the ish dhatu? Ishta. Ishta and rakuno. Virumba pattan sodakya. Ishta and rakuno. It must be ishta. It should not be ishitam. But you have here what in Veda? Ishitam. Isn't it? It must be ishta. Why it is ishitam? So he says, chandasa. I had to do one more sentence before that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay, please say that. Ishoho.
Ishoho.
Abhikshnya.
Abhikshnya.
Arthasya.
Arthasya.
Gatyarthasya.
Gatyarthasya.
Cha. Iha sambhavat.
Icha.
Icha. Artha.
Artha.
Arthataya.
Arthataya.
Yeva.
Yeva.
Yetad.
Yetad.
Say arthataya, no? Arthasya, sorry, the print is not okay. Arthasya.
Arthasya.
Yeva.
Yeva.
Yetad.
Yetad.
Rupam.
Rupam.
Iti gamyate.
Iti gamyate.
I'll repeat again. Kena ishitam.
Kena ishitam.
I'm reading from the beginning. Kena ishitam.
Kena ishitam.
Kena kartra.
Kena kartra.
Ishitam.
Ishitam.
So, kena ishitam means what? Kena kartra ishitam. Okay, what is that principle, conscious, what is that, by which conscious principle, by whose mere presence ishtam, the manaha patati, mind goes towards its objects. That's the first sentence, isn't it? It is ishtam, and what's the meaning of the word ishtam? Ishtam, say now.
Ishtam.
See, read every sentence, every word. Kena ishtam. What is the meaning of the word kena ishitam? Kena kartra ishitam.
Kena kartra ishitam.
And there, the word used in the text is what? Ishitam. Ishitam means what actually? Ishtam. Have you seen that? Ishtam. Ishitam is equal to Ishtam. Ishtam means what? Willed by whom? Or by whose will, by whose mere presence, by whose mere blessings. That's the meaning. Kena Ishtam.
Kena Ishtam.
See, Kena Ishitam means Kena Kartra Ishitam. Kena Kartra Ishitam means Kena Kartra Ishtam. Ishtam means what here? Abhipretam.
Abhipretam.
Abhipretam also means what actually? Directed by whom? What is that principle? By whose direction? By whose mere presence, blessings? Then, sun.
Sun.
Being. Manaha.
Manaha.
Patati.
Patati.
Now, manaha patati is the word from the text. Manaha and patati are the words from the original text. And what is Shankara's meaning here? Gacchati.
Gacchati.
Patati means what? Gacchati. Gacchati means what? Goes. Patati literally means falls. But here it means what? Goes. So what goes here? Mind goes. Mind goes means mind goes towards what? Towards its sense objects. Therefore he says, Swavishayam prati. See, manaha swavishayam prati gacchati. Swavishayam prati gacchati. Manaha patati is equal to manaha swavishayam prati gacchati. Mind falls, it means mind goes towards its objects. That means mind functions. Is it clear? Okay. Iti sambadhyate. Sambadhyate means what? Added. Extra, it is associated. This following words. Manaha sva vishayam prati gacchati is not there in the text. The text says only manaha patati. Okay, but here manaha gacchati, which means mind goes, is the meaning given in the thing. But so what you have to add here? Mind goes towards its objects. It is added by the Shankara in his Bhasham to make this meaning complete. Kimartam sambadhyate? Swa vishayam prati gacchati iti sambadhyate. It is connected. Sambadhyate is connected. Is it clear? Okay. Now we'll go to the next line. Now, how much have you understood now? Kena ishitam patati manaha. You have not gone to Preksha also. Okay. Next, we say next one. Ishoho.
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 Abhikshnya.
Abhikshnya.
Arthasya.
Arthasya.
Gatyarthasya.
Gatyarthasya.
Cha.
Cha.
Iha. Sambhavat.
Sambhavat.
Iccha.
Iccha.
Arthasya.
Arthasya.
Eva.
Eva.
Etad rupam.
Etad rupam.
Iti.
Iti.
Gamyate.
Gamyate.
This is completely Bhashyam here. What Shankara says, iti gamyate means it is understood here. What is understood here? That ishoho means ish dhatoho. For this dhatu ish. Ish dhatoho means what? For this root ish. How many meanings are there? He says, abhikshnya arthasya sambhava. Abhikshnya arthaha sambhavati. Abhikshnya arthasya sambhavat means what? Because this ish dhatu also has the meaning of abhikshnyam, repetition, repeating. Ish dhatu also has what? Another meaning, gatyartha, movement. Ish dhatu has the meaning of repetition, abhikshnyartha. Ish dhatu has what? Gatyartha, meaning of movement also. How Ish Dhatu, I had to add here, Ish Dhatu belonging to the ninth conjugation, by which you form the verb Ishnati, it means Abhikshnyam, it means repeats. Abhikshnyartha means what? Ishna repeats. And Ish Dhatu as a fourth conjugation root, it what's the word? Ishyati, which means Gachyati. Isn't it? Same Ish Dhatu as a sixth conjugation root, it means what? Ichyati, desires, wills. Ore Dhatu kunga moonu porul irukku. Appa which meaning should you take here? Liya. So which meaning should you take? That's the meaning here. Abhikshnya arthasya. Look at this. Ish Dhatoho Abhikshnya arthasya Gatyarthasya Cha sambhavat. It is possible for the Ish Dhatu to have also other meanings. Is it clear? Therefore, but which meaning should you take here? Only one meaning here. That meaning is what he says. Icha arthasya yeva. Icha arthasya yeva yetad rupam iti gamyate. But here you shouldn't take the meaning of icha, desiring, willing. Icha arthasya yeva yetad rupam. And this form here, ishitam, actually should take the meaning of icha, desiring, willing. Other two meanings do not fit here. Is it clear? That's what he says. Icha arthasya yeva yetad rupam iti gamyate. Iti gamyate means what now? Is understood here. So now, even if you are not a grammar student, even if you do not know Sanskritam, you know a little bit, you can understand, there is one dhatuhu called ishdhatuhu. There are many conjugations, and ishdhatuhu belongs to these three different conjugations, and ishdhatuhu comes as what? Ishnati, ichyati, and so gachyati. Isn't it? Ishyati. Ishyati, ichyati, ishnati. Three verbs are there. And three different verbs may give you three different meanings. What is the root for ishnati? Let me talk. Ask this way. It becomes easier for you. What is the root for ishnati? Ish. What is the ish, root for ishyati? Ish. What, that's why, what is the root for ichyati? Ish. You can't say ichy. Verb is ichyati, root is ish. Verb is ishnati, root is ish. Verb is ishyati, root is ish. And what does the word ishnati mean?
Repeats.
Ishyati means? Goes. And ichyati means? Desires, wills. So which meaning should, what is ishitam here? Participle. Past passive participle. Of which of the three verbs here? Ichyati. Ishnati, no? Which are three verbs? The participle of which of the three verbs here? Ishnati, ishyati or ichyati? Ichyati. So how should it have been actually? Ishtam. Ishtam. But how is it now? Ishitam. Ishitam is right or not?
Chandasa.
Chandasa. It's not wrong. It is. If we use ishitam, it is wrong. Swamini, you are wrong. Ishitam is wrong. But Veda, it is not wrong. We don't say it is right also. What do you say? Chandasa prayogaha. Understand?
What is
sambhava? Sambhavati means happens. Two other meanings also happen for this root. See, there is a literal translation of it, very funny, isn't it? See, artasya api sambhavat. See, it also happens. What happens? These meanings also occur. Sambhavaha means occur. These meanings also occur for this root. But here, what is actual rupam? You know? Icha arthasya eva etad rupam. So it is becomes very clear, gamyate iti gamyate. इच्छार्थस्य एव एतद् रूपम् एतद् रूपम् विच् रूपम् इषितम् इति रूपम् न तु अभीक्ष्यार्थस्य इष्धातोः न तु गत्यर्थस्य इष्धातोः परन्तु इच्छार्थस्य एव एतद् रूपम् इति गम्यते इट् इस् अण्डर्स्टुड् गम्यते हियर् मीन्स् वाट् इट् इस् अरैव्ड् अट् वाट् इस् अरैव्ड् अट् हियर् इट् इस् अरैव्ड् अट् दट् this form ishitam is of the ish dhatu meaning icha desiring not other two meanings this is shankara okay this is how he goes that is why people will be thinking you know 32 years this person died okay And he is Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karuna Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam. He is an embodiment of wisdom of all the Puranas, all the Smritis, all the four Vedas. Yeah. Isn't it? No, even to write these details. To think. Anyway. Okay, that is first one thing he made. See, I've already told you. Then I am reading the book, okay? I'm already telling you first, then I'm reading. That's how to make it easier. The next you can say. Ishitam. Now he is not yet completed, okay? Now he still goes on about Ishitam. Ishitam. Say no? Iti. Eat. Sorry. इट् प्रयोगः इषितम् इति इट् प्रयोगः तु छान्दसः इषितम् एक्चुलि लुक् अट् दिस् इच्छति मीन्स् वाट् नौ इच्छति वाट् इस् द पार्टिसिपल् आफ् इच्छति सि इष्टम् But what is the word we are having here? Ishitam. So what is Ishitam here? It is Chandasaha. Okay, that's what is said. It is Vedic usage. Prapurvasya. See now he says the same root, same word. Prapurvasya. नियोगार्थे प्रेषितम् इति एतत् नौ हि इस् गोयिङ्ग् टु वाट् नौ प्रेषितम् सि प्रेषितम् आल्सो हि सेस् नौ दि प्रेषितम् इस् अ रिफैन्ड् फार्म् आफ् द सेम् रूट् इषितम् इषितम् सेम् वर्ड् इषितम् सो प्रेषितम् आल्सो हौ प्रेषितम् Prapurvasya. Pra means prefix. Prapurvaha means what? The ish dhatu having the prefix pra is what? Prapurvaha. Prapurvaha yasya dhatoho. Saha dhatoho prapurvaha. The ish dhatu having the prefix pra is what? Prapurvaha. Okay, therefore it becomes what now? Same word only. But it gives the meaning of niyogarthe. It gives the meaning niyogaha. Mean, see, appointing or activating. Same meaning. Ichchati, the word ichchati, becomes what now? If you add pra to ish dhatu. See, pra plus ish. Ishita. Ishita literally means what? Ichcha. Which means desired or willed, but same ishita with the prefix pra, becomes preshita. So when it becomes preshita, what is the meaning? Not ichchartha, niyogartha. Niyogartha means what? In fact, activating, directing, instigating, that's the meaning. Niyogaha artha means what now? Directing, instigating, activating, that meaning comes for the same ish dhatuhu if it has the prefix pra. Same participle, which means actually desired, willed, and same this participle with the prefix pra gives you the meaning of niyogartha, gives the meaning of what? Instigation, activation, direction. Is it clear now? That's what he says. The words are refined meaning of the same word. Preshitam, niyogarthe preshitam, iti etat. Have you got it now? I'll repeat it again. Ishitam, you know?
Ishitam.
Iti. It prayogahatu.
Prayogahatu.
Chandasaha.
Chandasaha.
Tasyeva.
Kasyeva.
Tasyeva ishdatoho. For the same root, for that same meaning. Tasya eva means for that. For what? For which? For the same ishita. Tasya
eva
prapurvasya. Prapurvasya means what? Prapurvasya ishita shabdasya. Prapurvasya ishita shabdasya. For that same ishita shabda, which means actually ishta, which should be used as ishta, which means, you know, willed, which has the meaning of willing or desiring, here has the meaning of instigating, directing, activating, etc. When it has the prefix of, prefixed with pra. Puridhanga? Pra plus ishita becomes what? Preshita. Like Raja Indra becomes Rajendra. Pra plus ishita becomes Preshita. The prasetna, with the prefix, what is the meaning? Ishitam without pra means willing, has the meaning of willing, desiring. And ishitam with the prefix pra, it becomes preshitam, where it means niyogartha, which means activation, direction, etc. With this much you finished. Is it clear now? Till here? Now the doubt might come. Akanksha, the curiosity, doubt might come. What is the doubt should come here? Tatra preshitam ityeva ukte. Okay. Okay, the same dhatuhu with the prefix pra, which means activation, or the different meaning becomes different, then what happens? Preshitam ityeva ukte. If preshitam is said, if we take the word preshitam, then what happens? Preshayitru. Preshana, Vishesha, Vishaya, Akanksha, Syat. So he says, Preshayitru. Preshayitru means what? Activator. If that word is, if you take the word Preshitam in the sense of activation, then it gives rise to what now? The kena should be becomes what now? Preshita, preshitru, the activator. Isn't it? The very word presh, by whom? Activated by whom, if you ask the question, then by whom it means what? The person becomes activator. Isn't it? Preshitru means what? Activator, instigator, propeller, director. This is the meaning. Preshayitru. Then, Preshana Vishesha Vishaya Akanksha. Preshanam is what now? The act, the act of propelling. The act of activating, isn't it? Activating is an action here. this becomes action. Then you make the Atma what now? Akanksha syat, the doubt might come, then the kena, which when it is used with the participle preshitam, then the kena implies by which preshayita, by which activator, it is all activated. All these things are activated. Okay? Then that means what? You make the Atma the Karta, the doer. And not only that, then there becomes a karma action also. Action of instigating. Isn't it? All these things come now. Akanksha Syat. So he says, Kena, say no?
Kena.
Preshayitru
Visheshena.
Oh, by whose, by which activator everything else becomes activated, isn't it? And how, when you say the activator, there is a, by whose direction, even the direct, by directed by whom, preshayitru means what? The director also. So, directed by whom, which conscious principle, everything becomes, no, everything functions when you say. So you make the Atma Karta. And it also becomes what now? The karma. They not only that. Kidrusham va preshitam. Oh, if the Atma is the activator, Atma becomes the doer, Karta. And how kidrisham preshitam? How is it? You can ask one more question. How is it activated? How is everything activated? Who is the activator? How is everything activated? These two doubts might come. Isn't it? When these doubts come, what happens actually? Atma becomes the doer. Isn't it? And Atma also uses some means to activate everything. These doubts might come. Therefore he says, don't worry, such doubt doesn't come. Because he uses two words, the student uses two words, ishitam and preshitam. First the meaning of the word ishitam became clear. Then if both mean the same, why should the student unnecessarily use two words? Already we are confused. One word itself is enough to confuse us. Why should he use kena ishitam, kena prashitam, manaha praiti? The manaha patati. He says one word is enough, isn't it? Because that is why he says prashitam, when you say, the kena implies what is that conscious principle directed by which, directed by whom the mind functions. And if you say kena ishitam means what is the conscious principle by whose mere presence everything functions. These two are used. For the word ishitam, the meaning of the word ishitam removes that doubt. Is it clear now? Literally the word preshita, preshayitru means what actually? Directing. So director, when you say preshita, the preshita means the one who is, that implies the kena, the person, as the activator. It makes the Atma Karta. But the Ishita makes the question word Kena, the one by whose mere presence. What is the correct meaning? By whose presence or by whose direction? Which is the correct answer? By whose mere presence. This much is enough if you understood. Or leave all the grammar part of it. What should be the meaning? Isn't it? So that's what he is going to say next sentence. Initially it may look like that, but as you go ahead, it becomes much easier, very interesting also. Actually, only now, initially it sounds like this. As once you go into the, later on that actual Shastra Saram comes, and there Shankara's Bhashyam is fantastic, very worth reading and beautiful to know. And so even if you feel bored or tired now, and please bear with this Bhashyam. Okay, not with me, with this Bhashyam. I know you cannot bear with me, but you have to bear with this Bhashyam. Okay, tatra preshitam ityeva ukte preshayitru preshana visesha vishaya akanksha syat kena preshayitru visheshena kīdṛśaṁ vā prēṣanam iti. So, I am repeating it again. So, this, if we take the prapūrvaha, okay, the same word alone, with the prefix pra, prēṣit, it becomes prēṣita, which means, which implies that the activated or directed by which conscious principle mind functions. That means then it involves the doubt. What doubt? Then there becomes the activator. The Atma becomes the activator, director. That means Atma becomes the karta. Then there is a karma. There is an act of directing also. And not only that, you know, he says, and you have to also ask what now, how does Atma really direct? Katham kidrasham va preshanam. All this, how does Atma really direct this mind towards its objects? All these doubts will come. Therefore, don't have any other doubts. You should not take the meaning of direction here. You take the meaning of mere presence, sannidhi matrena, that are mean, you should take it. So that that doubt goes. Atma is not the doer, therefore you should not take the meaning of directing, take the meaning of mere presence. That conscious principle, mere presence of which conscious principle, the mind functions, mind goes towards its objects. That's how you should take. Is it clear or not? All of you are sleepy or what? See, without having slept the whole night, I'm trying to be awake.
So the question arises, if the Ishita is the correct thing, what I'm trying to understand is why does the fellow use Preshita as well? Why does he also use Preshita when Ishita is the real meaning?
Actually, Preshita means, just to make it more emphatic, his question, what is the principle? No, by whose presence? By whom? Because of whom? Everything becomes activated. Everything becomes instigated. Everything functions. He wanted to emphasize. It's like some of us, okay? Sometimes we do this. We use too many words also. And he has to say, no, and Shankara has to give a correct answer. Come on, he used two words because out of excitement. But actually what the meaning is, what? Preshitam should not be literally, actually first verb is enough. We don't need second verb. And because the word Preshitam is used, and it means the function of actually directing and all that. So direction means, then if it means direction, Atma becomes the director, and then it makes it Atma Karta. And you also want to know how, in what way, in which way, how does Atma really direct the mind also? Such questions come. That is why don't go to the meaning. Don't take the meaning of the word Preshitam as directing here. Take the same meaning. Take it as a pra is always emphasizes the meaning, makes the same meaning more emphatic. Prida, more emphatic, emphatic. So, but now, same meaning alone becomes more refined by this meaning. Preshita also means the same. In fact, it emphasizes the same meaning. What is that principle by the mere presence? Mere presence, everything functions. That's what he wants to say that. Both the words mean the same, he wants to say. Understand? Why should he complicate it like this?
Why does the Veda do this? Why, if the Veda is of divine origin, why does it bother with a fiction like this, a story? Why doesn't it just tell you as it is? Why introduce this complexity, this excitable...
See, the verse is not complex at all. That is why Upanishad has to be studied with the help of the teacher. So you are studying with the help of the teacher, fine. You understood already. Okay, you understood the whole, the moolam, that's why you say moola adhyenam is enough. Moola adhyenam means what? Moola granthasya adhyenam paryaptam. It is enough for one to study the original text with the help of the teacher to understand the whole import of the mantras. But then, bhashya patanasya avashyakata nasti. There is no necessity or need for one to study the bhashyam. But kimartham punaha bhashyam patyate. Why is it then bhashyam studied at all, breaking our heads? To sharpen our buddhi. Because you have ever thought like this? If we know Sanskrit grammar, then you are supposed to have raised all these doubts. How sharp you are. See, this is all thinking, you know, simply it is called waking up the sharpness. It is like the dormant. It has to be woken up. Come on, cut. It's like waking up somebody, isn't it? We always say taste buds also should be woken up. See, immediately my buddhi goes for taste buds. Your taste bud is dormant. Taste buds are all there dormant, sleeping. And you give you one chilli there, what happens? It works up. And something sweet you give, it wakes up, isn't it? Something sour you give, wakes up. Every taste bud has to be what now? Has to be really nagged and pinched and woken up. Similarly, here also, buddhi also has what? Sharpness also. We don't even think that way. It has to be scratched and woken up really.
So many, is it not the word preshita used, because it isn't always we need to understand everything in the truth, reality, but we also perceive the duality.
Yeah.
We also have a concept that there is a director, so we also have to address that as well. So the two words are used because we perceive the...
Already our problem is there.
Yeah.
See, already our problem is that somebody is sitting above us and directing us. That's our problem. Actually, here the Upanishad is making us understand there is no such thing, isn't it? So, it's enough. That is, but this person, he says, to make what he says more emphatic, he uses the same word twice. And to make it more emphatic, he uses the same word with the same meaning with the prefix. He says, don't take preshita and nishita as two different verbs. Both are the same verbs, both mean the same. One is more emphatic of the same meaning. Ishitam means by whose will, isn't it? Kena ishita means by whose mere presence. By whose will. So, preshitam also means what? The same meaning only. Why pra then? To me, it makes the same meaning more emphatic. Is it clear? But preshita separately, if you take, it means it gives you the sense of directed. Then, if it gives the sense of directed, then it makes the atma karta, then it gives rise to the Atma being involved in the act of instigating. then the question also comes in, how does Atma really instigate these things, etc.? The questions come. That is why, don't need to worry. The Preshita also is nothing but same word, Ishita only, but with the prefix Pra, which means the same. Is it clear?
Yeah, so the whole thing revolves around the effect of the prefix Pra. So either it could give this one other different meaning of direction, or Pra just emphasizes Ishita.
Actually, Ishita itself, actually, Preshita also, what he says, literally, I tell you another word. There is another word, Preshayati. Verb is Preshayati. Preshayati means sends. Sending. Preshanam. Sending. That means, you know, activates. Another meaning also is there. So here, that is not a participle of Preshita verb, that word. The same Ishita only, with the prefix Pra, becomes Preshita, which mean actually, which does not mean the action here, which also means the mere presence. Which also implies the actionlessness, not the action. See, because if we do not know any Sanskrit grammar, and if we simply read and see the translation, some understand somebody's explanation of that, even if it's the correct explanation, that is enough to clear your knowledge. But if we know the language, then if the buddhi has to be made sharpened, it's also sort of the exercise, isn't it? When you analyze so much, now you don't need to read this verse again. Kena ishitam, kena prashitam, manaha prayati means you know, pra, ishi, ishi, everything will become to your mind. The thorough study. It's called thorough study. It's the bestest form of study if you know Sanskritam. If you don't know Sanskritam, it may be boring, it becomes a lullaby, it may make you fall asleep also. And then it may be counterproductive also, as Paramarthananda says, it will make you run away from the class also. But that's why you have to treat your interest, okay?
So did you say that? So were you saying that Preshayati, the participle form of Preshayati, is not Preshita?
Uh-huh.
It is also.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I didn't want to talk about it at all, because he doesn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Shankara doesn't talk about it. He only says, because somebody might ask the question, like us, why does he make it so complicated? Why can't he use one verb? And Shankara says, he uses two verbs. The two verbs do not give two different meanings. But it really makes it very clear. Even first itself, he said, the Ishdhatu has three different meanings. But we are taking only this meaning. This is what implied by this word Ishita. Build. Isn't it? Thereafter, Preshita, another verb also is there. That is only, that gives you more refined form of the same word, Ishita. That does not give you the different meaning of activating or directing. Because if it gives the meaning of directing, then you make the doer, Atma Karta, and involve Atma in the act of directing. And you also pays way to raise this question, how does Atma activate, etc. There's no such thing. Because we are not taking the meaning of direction here, we are taking the meaning of willing, desiring, which means what is that conscious, what is that principle, by mere presence of which conscious principle, this mind work goes towards its objects, functions. How many sentences have you covered today? Half, quarter sentence. Okay. Ishitam ititu viseshane sati tad ubhayam nivartate. See, ishitam iti viseshane sati. Viseshane sati means what now? When you take it as, you know, the mind, what is that by which conscious principle this mind, you know, is mind, the mere presence of which the mind functions. When you say ishitam also becomes what? They both mean the same meaning. Therefore he says, visheshana is what? No, it also is the same thing it gives, emphasizes. Tad ubhayam nivartate. Ubhayam nivartate means what now? The doubt, both the doubts go. What are the both doubts? Atma is the karta, that doubt also goes. And how Atma directs, that question also resolves. Is it clear now? How Atma activates, that question will not come unless you say Atma is the director. The both the doubts resolve. How do they refer? Nivartate. If you understand, it means what is that principle by mere presence of which, by whose mere blessings everything functions. Is it clear? Is the meaning? Kasya
Icha
Matrena Preshitam Iti Artha Visesha
Nirdharanat.
Okay, now Nirdharanam means firm understanding. What is Nirdharanam? There's a firm understanding. What is the firm understanding you have? See, preshitam, kasya iccha matrena preshitam. By whose mere presence, by mere whose will, by mere whose mere will, not by action, just by mere will. Kasya iccha matrena, by whose mere will, everything functions. Everything becomes activated, not by one's action, but by mere will, everything activated, becomes activated. Is it clear now? Kasya iccha matrena, by whose mere will, preshitam, everything becomes activated here. Iti nirdharanat, that is the nirdharan, what is the firm understanding. Is it clear? Understand.
Yadi
yeshaha
artaha
abhipretaha syat kena ishitam iti yetavata eva siddhatvat preshitam iti na vaktavyam. See, Rajniji, what you ask, the same, like that, there is one Purvapakshi. This much is over. Purvapakshi comes. Purvapakshi means one who raises objection. He asks the same question what we are all asking. What is the question he is asking? Yadi yeshaha artaha abhipretaha syat. Look at this. Yadi, read now. Yeshaha artaha abhipretaha syat. If what was intended was this meaning. What meaning? This meaning means this meaning of willing, not the meaning of directing or acting, activating, then ishitam iti yetavata eva siddhatvat. That meaning really becomes revealed properly just by one word, ishitam. If this is the meaning, then that meaning is indicated, isn't it? Meaning becomes complete, becomes clearly expressed by one word, ishitam. Ishitam iti yetavata siddhatvat. Siddhyati. Meaning becomes complete. Meaning becomes complete with one word. Siddhatvat. Preshitam iti na vaktavyam. Now then, the word preshitam should not be told there. should not have been used. Why is this word Preshitam again used? See, who is asking now? Our own friend. There is one Purva Pakshi sitting in front of Shankara asking him question. Is it clear now? Ishitam, that's what, very beautiful. Yadi, you know? Yeshaha artaha abhipretaha syat. Artaha abhipretaha syat. Yadi. Yeshaha artaha abhipretaha syat. Abhipretaha syat means what? If this meaning was intended, then kena ishitam iti yetavata eva siddhatvat preshitam iti na vaktavyam. Is it clear now? If the word kena ishitam itself is complete by itself, then preshitam iti, that another word is not necessary, isn't it? Why have they used? It shouldn't have been told. Apicha shabda adikyat artha adikyam yuktam iti ichaya karmana vacha va kena preshitam iti artha viseshaha avagantam yuktaha. Then not only that, because shabda adhikyat, when you use more words, what he says, the Purva Pakshi here, you have to know, note where Purva Pakshi comes into the picture. Yadi yeshaha artaha vipreha, from there who is talking now? Purva Pakshi. Shankara finished his bhashyam on certain words. Kena preshitam ishitam, he finished. Okay? He finished with what? Manaha patati. He finished with that. No, he has not gone to only that first. Kena ishitam preshitam manaha patati. For quarter sentence, Bhashyam Shankara has completed. No, the first hand information is over. Then the Purva Pakshi comes into the picture. It's another, okay, he doesn't even allow Shankara to continue, okay? And he comes and asks, what does he say? If one word is enough, yadi artha viseshat, no? Yadi eshaha artaha abhipretaha syat, no? Then kena ishitam iti yetavata eva siddhatvat. If this is the meaning intended, and this meaning is implied by his one word itself, isn't it? If this is the meaning intended, and if this meaning is revealed by this word, na kena ishitam itself, then preshitam iti na vaktavyam. It should not be preshitam, that word should not have been used, should not be told there. Second thing, apicha, also what happens? Shabda adhikyat. Shabda adhikyam means what? By increasing number of words, with increase of number of words, isn't it? Increase number of words. More number of words when you use, artha adhikyam yuktam, isn't it? Then more meaning also is what now? Becomes more meaning also, the more words are used, then more meaning it has, the words convey. Yuktam, iti ichaya, then what happens now? Then we ask the question, karmana vachava kena preshitam. Then you tend to ask these questions. If it was activated means, directed means, how? By speech or by action? How does Atma activate the mind? Karmana with the vacha. By speaking? Come on, go and do it. By this word, speech, or by action? How does Atma activate the mind? That question also comes. Iti artha viseshaha avagantum yuktaha. This also becomes the problem. Then Shankara, shut up. Nah. Shankara gives his answer. Not Puru Pinnasi, Siddhanti comes. So Puru, here you have to understand this also in Bhashyam hereafter. You don't understand where is the Purupakshi coming, entering, and where is Siddhanti giving an answer, you had to make out. Okay? Now the general comment, meaning, and where the Purupakshi entered, and what did he ask? Now Shankara is shutting up his mouth. Nah. Whenever the Purupakshi is given an answer, immediately what? No. He doesn't explain first. No. Okay? Nah. Is it? Nah. That's not true. Prashna samarthyat. No? Say no? Prashna samarthyat. No. Such more words do not confuse with more meanings. Why? Prashna samarthyat. Prashna samarthya means what? It depends upon which question it is asked. Is it? Which is the context where this question is asked, there the two words are used, therefore it has to be understood. Prashna samarthyat. Dehadi. Sanghatat. Anityat. Karma. Karyat. Viraktaha. Ataha. Anyate. Kutastam. Nityam. Vastu. Bubutsamanaha. Prichati. Iti. Samarthyat. Upapadyate. So he says, the student says, this question is not tenable, unnecessarily using more words, giving more meanings, creating more confusions. Shankara says, no. Na, this is tenable. Upapadyate. What is tenable here? Is asking, using two words is okay. Because the very prashna tells, what does the prashna do? When the student asks, oh, teacher, please tell me, what is that? What is that? By whose mere presence? By who? Because of whom? Everything becomes activated. Now, he means the same thing, but he used two words. Isn't it? So, Shankara says, very beautifully Shankara says, it shows the eagerness, the urge on the part of the student. The prashna samarthya means what? The way the student asks the question itself reveals the student's mind. It not to confuse, create the doubt here, unnecessary confusion here, he says, Dehadi Sanghatat. See, Dehadi Sanghatat. Deha Adi means what? Body, etc. Body, etc. means what? Body, mind, sense complex. The whole body, mind, sense complex. Sanghataha means what now? I told you, this is an assemblage. Okay? The Dehadi Sanghatat. Sanghata means everything put together is Sanghata. Okay? You say, all the, from this body, mind, sense complex, etc. Sanghatat. And what is the nature of this body when it's complex? Anityat. It is of the nature of changing and sixfold modifications, isn't it? He says what now? Anityat, which is not permanent. This body is not permanent. Mind is not permanent. Since nothing is permanent, everything is constantly changing. From this impermanent, material product, body, mind, sense complex. Then, Dehadi Sanghatat Anityat Karma Karyad Viraktaha. Karma Karyad Viraktaha means what now? The Karma Karyad means the objects. Karma means the object here. This body minus complex, which is part of the objective world, isn't it? Karma Karyad Viraktaha. Karma Karya means what now? Something belonging to the objective world. Okay, Viraktaha means one who is viraktaha. Viraktaha means what? One who is dispassionate. One who is dispassionate towards this body mind sense complex, which is material in nature, which is impermanent, and which is part of this objective, which belongs to this objective world also. Viraktaha. What is he interested now? He is not interested in knowing the body. He is not interested in anything, activities. See, the action belongs to what? Body, mind, sense complex. Isn't it? The very student who is asking this question, he is not interested in anything connected to the body, which is the material and which is impermanent, which is part of this objective world. And what is he interested in actually? This person who is asking the question, the very question shows what? What is he interested? He is interested in something which is because of which all these things function. So he says, Kutastham. Okay, Kutastham. He is dispassionate towards all of them. Therefore, now what is his passion now? What is he passionate about? Isn't it? Kutastham. You know? Nityam, vastu, bubutsamanaha. See, he, bubutsamanaha means jignasuhu. Bubutsate, bodhum iccha bubutsa. Bodhate, remember the word, buddhatuhu? See, like bubutsamanaha also is another desiderative word. Like how you have the word moktum iccha moksha, jnatum iccha jignyasa. When you take the word jignyasa, desire to know. Bubhutsa means not bubuksha. 12:30, oh. Bubuksha means hunger. Desire to eat is bubuksha. But bubhutsa, bodhum iccha. No? Remember? Both bubutsa manaha means wanting to know. One who is desirous of knowing. He wants to know what bubutsa manaha means. Being desirous of knowing. Bubutsa manaha is because bodhate is atmanepadam. Therefore, because what? Bubutsa manaha. Okay? Wanting to know. Being desirous of knowing. What does he want to know? Vastu. Which vastu? The absolute vastu. The reality. What is that reality? Nityam. Vastu which is eternal, absolute, everlasting, timeless. Now what is that vastu? The kutastaha. See, kutastham vastu. It's a very beautiful word actually. Kutaha means anvil. Kutaha means anvil. Kutastaha means the one that which is like, the kutastha on which everything exists. Kutastha actually implies the substratum. That in which everything exists. Kutastha. That which is the very adhara for everything is kutastha. So he is being desirous of knowing that which is eternal. Nityam kutastham vastu bhutsamanaha. Wanting to know that reality, he is not interested in deha, karyakarna sanghata, which is anitya, isn't it? Which is also what now? Karma karya. In this, all these things he is disinterested. He is not interested. All that he is interested is what? Only in knowing the kotastam nityam vastu bhutsamanaha, wanting to know that atma. Prichati. He asks this question. He is asking this question merely with the desire of knowing what that reality is, Atma is. He is not interested in knowing about the body at all. Therefore, we can make out what? Even though he asks the two words, he does not mean anything to do with the action or the kartrutvam, or this question does not involve karta or kartrutvam or karma or karapalam. His interest is only, the very question is, what is he asking about? Atma. Therefore, it doesn't matter how many words the questioner, the person who asks the question uses. All the words must mean what? Is it only the Atma? Therefore, all the words imply the same meaning only. He let him use Peshittam, Mishittam, and also one more word as he used. Doesn't matter. His question is a support. He is asking the question about what? About the Atma. And what is that Atma? Kutastham Nityavastu. Isn't it? The question is not about the body, not about anything, object in the world. Then you have these questions like this. Why Prashittam? Why Ishittam? Doesn't matter. The Prashittam also is emphasizing the same meaning conveyed by Ishittam with the prefix pra, because it makes the meaning more refined. Is it clear? Therefore, no, don't say it shouldn't have been used. He shouldn't have used so two words. He said, don't say that. Prashta Samarthya, the very question he asks, it's so clear what the meaning is. Is it clear? Let me finish and stop it here. 1 second. Let me finish it. Anyate kutastam nityam vastu bubhutsamanaha prichati iti samarthyat upapadyate. It is possible for the student, it is tenable for the student to ask, to use two words, Ishittam and Prashittam, in his question, because the very question, what is he questioning about, makes the question, words, you know, what they convey becomes, makes it very clear. Is it okay? So I'll stop here. I don't know how the time passed. We have finished a quarter of the mantra. Not even the quarter of the mantra. We had to go. The same question is going to come now. See, look at this now. The rest of the half the thing. I will finish half of the bhashyam today. Everything will be quickly finished. See, the main discussion is on these two words, Ishittam and Prashittam. But if we keep on sitting in the class, it will become very clear. Just bear with me, okay, for some time. Be okay. Okay, Sunilama? You keep on listening, you'll get it. You'll also see, understand Sanskrit. Isn't it? Difficult for you, but it will become very clear. We didn't do much today. This is so, that's why, you know, Upanishad class, we can finish this Keno Upanishad. We simply do the Moolam in 12-13 classes. If we do with the Bhashyam, it will go on for...
But it's very, as you say, you know, it's really just, it raises questions that you wouldn't normally have raised.
See, the last part, what he says is, because the question, as you asked, the question was, why? You know, what he wants to convey, it becomes conveyed with one verb, Ishittam. Why this word Peshittam again is used? That's the question, isn't it? Then Shankara says, see the person who questions. What is he questioning about? Is he interested in the body? Which is, you know, he is not interested in this body, which is anityam, which is part of the objective world, isn't it? And which is involved in karma. He is interested in something, the Atma. And the Atma is of the nature of what? Actionlessness. Therefore, the very question, what he wants to know, makes it very clear. Even if he uses two words, both the words may emphasize the same meaning. That means the student is very clear that Atma, that there is a conscious principle because of which alone this inert body-mind complex function. But that conscious principle really does not do any action also. It is there, but its mere presence, this body mind complex functions. That means, what is that conscious principle? You know, by whose mere presence all these things function. That's what he wants to convey. So the student shows the stand-up student also, you know. The student also already knows what? There is a conscious principle. And which is distinct and different but not distant from the body mind's complex. And the student already knows what? Body mind's complex is inert material product. So they cannot be conscious and sentient. They cannot function by themselves. That means, and then this conscious principle which is there, you know, inseparably with the body mind's complex, definitely is not doing any action also. And it is there by its mere presence, everything becomes activate, everything becomes functioning. Maybe what is that principle by mere, whose mere presence, by mere, whose will this inert material product body mind's complex functions? That is his question. Therefore, this question itself proves, you know, emphasizes his understanding of the Atma being akarta. But still, you know, his mere presence, everything is activated. But he does not know what exactly is that principle. So he wants to know. That's why he uses the word preshitam, anishitam, etc.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You said you've been using almost as synonyms the phrase by mere, whose mere presence, or by presence, and also will, as though will and presence are synonyms, are equivalents. But I find that strange, because it's...
Yeah, it may sound a little...
It's in my view of what the word will means.
Yeah. Actually, what happens in the question, in term, will means when our will, when you will, yes, to do something.
Yes. As in free will.
Yeah, free will. Okay, will itself is a free will. Okay, it's a free will. But when use with reference to Atma, mere willing means, willing implies actually not really causing any action. Willing means, their willing does not mere presence. With reference to Atma, Atma by mere will, by mere desire. See, when I want you to do something, but desire comes, then I have to do something also. My desire has to be expressed in form of action in order to get something done. Whereas Atma, isn't it, does not really need to do anything physical, any action as such, to get something to happen. Therefore, we use the word will. Will is a word used here just to mean mere presence, only with reference to Atma. I thought today somebody should ask this question. I used by me. See, just by willing means what? See, if we will also, you can't do. Still, you have to do something. See, you will first, then you act. But Atma doesn't act, isn't it? So to mean that, an Atma does it will mean an Atma think or anything? No. Mere presence. Mere willing. By mere will, by mere desire, okay, means so by mere presence.
So where it says in the Shruti, where it says Atma thinks and the creation makes a thought and the creation expands, it's the same implication.
Yeah. See, in Taittiriya Upanishad also, there's a desire. The desire comes, you know, Srijayam. May create. May create means that Atma thinks or what? Mere presence. Sannidhi matrena. Sannidhyena. Sannidhya means presence. Just by presence. It's like, suppose if we say, you know, the light, because of because the part of the will, because of the will on the part of the light, everything shines. I mean, there's a will or what on the part of light? There's no will, which means mere presence. Yeah, sankalpam also, see, with reference to when in the context of Atma, if we use the word sankalpaha, use the word will, you use the word, no, they all mean presence. Sanidhyam. You remember the word sanidhyam. Sanidhyam means mere presence. Sanidhyam means sanidhi matrena. So, the Shankara says, Krishna Samarthyat, when he says, he shows the great understanding of the student also. Even to ask such a question, the student must have so much of understanding. He only wants to know what is the principle. But he knows that there is some different principle, isn't it? Which is conscious principle, which is different from the body-mind complex. And which doesn't do any action also. But merely it is present. It is not, the student knows this much, the conscious principle is not sitting away from the body. You know, activating it also, like a puppet. So where is it then? It is very much there as part and parcel of this body-mind complex, but which is definitely distinct from this. So by whose mere presence, by mere blessings, this is also about blessing also. Another word, blessing. See, by blessings of sun, there is, we see everything means what? Presence of sun.
Described this as
Swarupa. Yeah.
Just because of the Swarupa.
Yeah. So being is a very Swarupa of the Atma. Being is a very Swarupa of the Atma. Yeah. That's another context. Being we learn. So I'm saying same thing, but we understand different ways of understanding. See, even now you can see the subtleness of the meaning, will, meaning of the word willing, no? Blessing. How it may implies actually mere presence, just existence, isn't it? So the student is so clever, so sharp. That is why he says ishitam. He does not mean the word, use the word ishitam in the sense of going, moving, or repeating. He uses the word ishitam in the sense of willing, desiring, which means mere presence. And the same meaning only, he makes it more emphatic. Don't mistake. I'm not using the word ishitam in the sense of, in other two senses, okay, going or repeating. I'm using the word ishitam only in the sense of, you know, willing and desiring. That he wants to make it very clear by emphasizing, using this another word, prashitam, it seems. The student wants to make himself clear to the teacher that he does not mean, what now, other two meanings. What he implies by using the word ishitam is only willing, desiring, which implies by mere presence. Understand? That is what he means. He makes it very clear by using another word, prashitam. This is the actual explanation for that. Shankara defends the student. How he is correct. Why he uses the word twice, prashitam? Because this word has two other meanings also. If he uses this word only once, you may take that he means... Which are the three words he means you do not understand. If he used the word preshitam also, with the prefix pra, the same word becomes more emphatically expressed. He does not mean any other meaning. He means only the meaning of desiring or willing, which implies by mere presence. Is it clear?
In fact, even in the Christian tradition, there's a prayer which uses the word will in the sense that's used here. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
It's so I'm saying Vedanta study will help you to understand the depth of any other Mahatma. This is a truth. Maybe what the correct meaning, but people don't understand. Will mean they think somebody sitting elsewhere and then willing and doing things like our willing, our free will. Is it clear now? So this what the Shankara, what he says is, Preshitam with the pra emphasizes the meaning of the sixth conjugation, desiring, not other two meanings. That's what he says. Is it clear? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.